Boy, when they go outside, the film really lightens up.
Clara Barton Hooks hits the water.
Hello, Jackie. Where are you going?
Okay, so Racket Girls.
Yes.
Yeah, it's always hard to know how to start with these things. I guess the one thing I will say is it's amazing that Mystery Science Theater introduces us to so many genres of movie.
Yeah. This was a wrestling, car chase, racketeering, softcore porn, action drama.
Yeah.
With comic relief and, gosh, am I missing anything?
I guess one of the things it had in common with that last Rocky Space Ranger, what was that called? Manhunt in Space, is that this is so much an artifact of its time. Like, this movie existed because of its time.
Yeah. Well, we think that it was essentially smut
right.
for 50s people.
Right.
For some people. Everybody has their kinks, too.
Yeah, sure. Oh, well, right. And so also if you happen to like wrestling, and I guess mm-hmm. the golden standard is if you like wrestling and smut and you get to smash them together via Racket Girls.
Right. And this is certainly not the only movie that was made just because people wanted to watch something happen on screen, like sex or violence or, you know.
No, yeah, not at all.
I feel a little bad for the directors and whoever was in this movie. Apparently there were some real women, actual women professional wrestlers in the movie. Like that Peaches woman was a real professional wrestler.
She should have gotten more. I loved Peaches.
Yeah, she was great. She bowed out after a while. I think they front loaded all of her scenes. I think they kind of wrote it so that she'd be in the beginning of the movie and not the ends, because they kind of knew that like you might not stick around for the whole thing.
So do you figure the theater was just full of horny dudes or?
Yes.
Yeah.
But were they horny dudes that are into women's wrestling? I mean,
that's probably why they were into women's wrestling.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's like being really into violence and then deciding you're really into a specific kind of violence.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think that happens all the time.
Yeah.
I guess, like I said, everybody's got their kinks.
Everyone's got their
kinks.
Yeah,
I guess so. There was that really fascinating moment where they had that scene where the two-bit wrestler tries to make them throw the match, but they won't do it because women's wrestling is a real sport. And I was just looking at you because you're a wrestling fan, and I was like, did they not know? Yeah. Should we tell them?
They didn't know. I think they didn't know. I know that actual like WWF wrestling, people thought it was real until well into like the 80s, basically. And so given that this is, you know, a 50s film, and given that it's a minor league women's wrestling or something, I'm sure there were probably a lot of people that thought it was actually real.
I guess the thing I have to say about that is watching that footage. And again, apparently some of these were real professional women's wrestlers.
Yeah.
It's just so fake looking.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mean to sound difficult, but really they watched that and they thought, yep, this looks real.
I mean, the whole movie looked fake looking.
Well,
the acting and everything.
No, sure. I mean, of course. It is fake looking.
People used to watch those movies where they would put, you know, superimpose the evil giant, you know, crocodile in front of the city and have it eating the
city.
Yeah,
yeah.
And they
would go,
I don't understand how they did that. You
right,
know?
Right.
I mean, like, suspension of disbelief was a different animal.
Right. But that's not really what I'm talking about. What I mean is the real women's wrestling in the real world, because those were real women wrestlers doing real women's wrestling, and it looked super duper fake.
Oh, but I don't think they were. I think they were probably like Peaches was probably part of a league of fake women's wrestlers.
Right.
For TV.
Right. But I'm saying in the real world, forget the movie, people showed up to see women's wrestling and that's what they did. And then they walked out of there thinking, yep, that was real.
Yeah, maybe. It very well might have been.
I mean, there weren't a lot of things like that, of women doing that sort of thing. So either they would think it was real or they wouldn't take it seriously at all, but they would enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They might not care. I mean, they might not. Yeah. If you asked them, like, do you think this is real? They might be like, I like that they take their tops off. And
right. No, I get that. Bras. But then, yeah. I guess part of it, as I'm thinking this through, I'm realizing what's happening here, which is by my modern, I go to Burning Man 2025 standards, I don't feel the need to hide the fact that I like porn and watch smut. Uh-huh. But I guess if you really felt like you had to come up with a lot of excuses for why you wanted to see this, then you would try really hard to pretend that this was real so that you didn't feel bad about it, I guess.
Peaches.
Peaches. Yeah. Yeah.
Peaches.
Yeah. Right. Anyway, yeah. Lots and lots of scenes of them wrestling, which, yeah. I mean, I get it, right? I understand in context why this movie was made the way it was, but us watching it, I mean, it's just so boring.
Yeah, it's really boring. I was actually kind of wondering if they watched a lot of other films that had sort of this sort of weird softcore 50s porn vibe and denied them, because it just didn't fit the Mystery Science Theater format. It's very rare that they watch something that essentially kind of adds up to softcore porn. And I was surprised to see it.
There's a few others. I mean, the one right before this in the episode list I looked at is Kitten with a Whip.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe they were just on a kick.
Yeah. And there's The Horrors of Spider Island. Yeah. That's also essentially smut.
Do you figure this was a Frank Conniff choice? Do you figure he was still choosing the movies?
Well, see, no, everything I know about Frank's choices in films is that he liked just like very plain, drab dramas with like slow, lots of plotting, talking, and you know. So I almost kind of wonder if this is somebody else's pick or if it was like an argument they had about like,
you somebody know. Lost a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's an interesting time in the show's history because it's an overlap of Frank and Mike. I mean, it's Mike running the crew.
Yeah.
But it's Frank and Trace, which...
Mike was the head writer before he was on the... Before he was the host.
Right, right. I get that. But I mean, in terms of like having Mike up on the satellite, but then having Frank and Trace down. Yeah. Like, how many seasons was that?
So that started in season 6. Oh, no, season 5 maybe. Might have been like 2 seasons.
Yeah, I think it's just 5 and
before
6.
Before they changed it, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So I took notes on some of my favorite riffs. There were some there were some winners. They were on today. Trace was so sarcastic. He's just him saying my loins will never titillate again.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. By modern standards, this is definitely very unsexy, but I think I can squint and see it through the 1950s lens. And I'm aware that, you know, especially some of those beginning scenes when they're like in the locker room and the one lady's like massaging the other lady and they're both in bras. I was like, yeah, this is like bordering on hardcore for 1950, whatever.
Yeah.
This is very naughty, basically.
Yeah. What's funny is not that they did that, but that they didn't do it more. And I guess that's the 1950s thing. I mean, they were still kind of trying to pretend that they were in a gym, like giving each other massages for athletic reasons. Yeah. Like they weren't moaning and...
No, it was played pretty straight. It was
played pretty straight.
Yeah, it didn't act like a porn. It acted like a drama.
Right.
Yeah. And some of the characters were really like, especially the men were in it to act in a drama. Like their parts were part of a plot that was supposed to be suspenseful and thrilling.
So one of the things we've been talking about the last couple episodes is this idea of the difference between the movies where it doesn't seem like they knew what they were doing versus movies which are bad, but which seem to be technically well made. Like that last one, right? Where, you know, I got the sense that Rocky Ranger Space Children's thing, that it was well made, like technically, like the people doing the technical stuff, like the cinematography seemed to know what they were doing. This one was weirdly uneven. Like the end of the movie is so poorly lit.
Yeah.
Do you figure that's just like the film rotted and it's not really like, it didn't really look like that when it was new?
No.
Or is it just not done well?
They used all the money for the wrestling.
Yeah,
that was right.
They paid peaches.
Yeah,
yeah.
The money and I think the talent. I think my impression is that the people making this movie knew more about shooting a women's wrestling match and acting it out than they did actually making a movie. So the movie parts felt less professional than just the wrestling.
It almost felt like the movie part and that terrible plot, all of it was just an excuse, a frame to hold the wrestling.
Oh, no question.
Except that that seems wildly unlikely, because knowing what I know about the film industry in the 50s, it's highly likely that this happened the other way around. In other words, they had a film crew, like a professional group of dudes that churned out films, and they handed them this assignment to make a women's wrestling movie.
But what if it's the other way? What if it's that there was some women's federation of wrestling that decided to make a movie, and they didn't consult like anyone in Hollywood? They just tried to figure it out.
No, because that's not what this is.
You don't think so?
No, they started with the idea of how do we get a bunch of horny men into a movie, and then somebody had the bright idea to make it about women's wrestling. There's no way it happened the other way around.
Hmm.
There's no way.
I don't know.
I mean, because you had a lot of other movies in the 50s with the same basic end goal, but they went about it a different way. Like, some of them are in Mystery Science Theater. There's the one about the motorcycle, women's motorcycle gang. I mean, they would start with, we want scantily clad women on screen, and then they would figure out a way to make that, like, plausible.
Yeah.
They're all going to be on motorcycles. They're all going to be wrestling. They're all going to be in space. I mean, that, you know, Barbarella, Space Queen of the Galaxy.
But the thing is, like, women's wrestling in the 50s probably had the same goal. It was probably sort of veiled smut just as a sport.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm talking about this fake stuff, right, like we saw. It's probably essentially existed in the 50s so that men could sort of be horny watching women fight.
Yeah.
I wonder if, because Peaches was a real wrestler.
Yeah,
right?
Apparently.
If Peaches, I don't know, had a connection. So maybe somebody just really liked Peaches and wanted to put her in a movie. It wouldn't be the first time that somebody would have made a movie around something they were enamored with.
Yeah, no. That's also possible. It might have started with Peaches, worked out from there.
You would think that if it was her idea, it wouldn't be so smutty.
Not that it was her idea, but that somebody was enamored with her and wanted to put her on the screen.
Yeah. I will say, I definitely got the impression, regardless, that she made way more money off of this than any of the other actors in this.
She seemed happier than everyone else.
Yeah, like I immediately got the impression she's having a payday, and this is probably some of the most money she's made in her career, and that everyone else in this film is community theater, you know, on a super shoestring budget.
What about the lady that was champion of Mexico?
Well, she might have gotten paid a lot too if she was famous also for this. I mean, I don't know. You know.
So we haven't talked yet about the marriage.
Yeah. Are you ready for marriage? So, I mean,
Jason, are you
ready? I'm not. I thought I was, but but then I saw the charts.
Yeah.
I saw the three steps. I saw the strange climbing gym thing with the
rubber
bands. Oh, the rubber band. Well, you know, sometimes a relationship gets so tight that it snaps.
Where did it go?
Yeah. That, you know, if the episode had ended right there, just with that, I would have given it 11 out of 10.
Yeah.
That was fantastic.
Yeah.
And they did such a great job of riffing on it. And then the skits around it, and just, I mean, the whole, like, the fact that they thread it through the sketches ended up in a wedding between Tom and Crow that then turned into wrestling. I mean, like, that was the most expert use of Mystery Science Theater that I've yet seen in this podcast.
You know, one of the really interesting things about, you know, we decided to do this randomly, and we did curate a little bit today, but pretty much this was a random choice, is as somebody that watched a lot of the show, or at least thought they did, there's just, I forgot what a huge back catalog they have of just random episodes that, I mean, you think like there's 200 plus episodes of this show, right? Uh-huh. So they've got to be out there somewhere. But for every Space Mutiny, there's definitely a Racket Girls.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because it's probably someone's favorite Mystery Science Theater episode.
Yeah.
Somebody out there is like, oh yeah, Mystery Science Theater, I love that show. Racket Girls.
Racket Girls. Yeah.
Everybody's got a kink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Are You Ready for Marriage is going to be top three probably all-time shorts that I've ever seen.
Oh,
do.
Yeah.
I love that Boing was part of the short.
Yeah,
and not
Boing. Yeah.
I don't know. There's I can't go top three. I mean, because I'm thinking about like No Springs.
Yeah.
And Hired.
Yeah.
You know, the Chevy one.
Yeah, yeah, I remember Hired.
Oh God. So many of those terrible. Or What to Do on a Date. Oh man. I mean, yeah. Those are probably my top three. Yeah. No Springs, What to Do on a Date, and then the Chevy. Mm-hmm. God. But I mean, this one was really good.
It was really good. I was laughing out loud.
It started a little slow, but when we got to the marriage counselor and he pulled out the charts and the dolls. God.
Yeah.
And the rubber band.
Yeah.
And the rubber band.
Yeah. And the thing about Trace, I mean, his magic is just his ability to be so sarcastic.
Yeah.
Just so deeply, overwhelmingly dark.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he got real dark with it.
Like everything in the universe is obviously the worst.
Yeah. Yeah.
In a very kind of Midwestern way where it's like, well, isn't that nice for you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was like, it was kind of watching that short, like it immediately occurs to you that like this couple is ideally bad for each other. And especially the woman was just so strangely like a space creature that it's just, I mean, it's so easy to make fun of it. It's like the lowest of hanging fruits, you know?
Right. She also just didn't seem 18 at all.
No, no, they were both like 35.
Yeah, right.
But that's just a thing they did in Hollywood for decades, you know?
I do love just how sound the advice is, though. Like, don't get married if you don't actually know the person.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's
I know. I as soon as they said, as soon as I can't remember how they ended up going to church or who told them to do that, but someone said you should go to church, and as soon as they're doing that, I started groaning, and I was like, oh God, here we go. And then surprisingly, Mr. Quasi-Pastor guy gave like smart advice about like, don't get married if you're 18 because you probably don't love each other. I was like, wow, all right, yeah. No notes there.
I mean, you and me, we grew up in a Catholic church. Yeah. Do you figure there was a guy hanging around? It was a job.
Oh, almost certainly, yeah.
Tell people not to
get married. In the 90s? Absolutely. We didn't know them, but yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure if you and I had like wanted to marry our high school sweethearts and our parents had decided to interfere, we would have ended up in church talking to some dude in a tie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In a suit.
Speaking of morality, this occurred to me at the end. Did you notice that they had to tie it up nice at the end of the movie with the American guy who came in and made sure to clean everything up, and you know, they were
gonna have that. Baffling. Well, what's that?
So I think that was like a code of ethics thing in the film industry. Like you had to do stuff like that. Like Reefer Madness, right? Reefer Madness, they show all these scenes of people having a really good time on marijuana, which is one of the reasons it's become a cult classic.
Yeah.
But then they have to come in and be like, but all that's bad and all these people died and terrible things happened to them. Like you couldn't have the bad guys win.
Yeah.
Right. You couldn't have America looked dumb. You couldn't have people get away with it in the 50s. Like you literally couldn't, you were legally like not allowed to have people get away with it.
Yeah.
If there were bad guys in the movie, they had to get caught.
Yeah.
And I think that's what all that scene was, is just like they have to get caught.
So that does explain why it felt so incredibly shoehorned in.
Right.
And why it didn't have any context.
No.
It almost felt like the filmmakers were kind of winking at you going like, hey, we threw this in because you know we have to.
I really wanted Peaches to beat them all up. I'm really, really upset.
She never came back. Mm-mm. Yeah, half of me was like, she's going to be at the end somehow. But nope, she just bowed out of that last 20, 25 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
Our star has left the building.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, so what did you think of the skits?
Great, great skits. Yeah, 10 out of 10 for the sketches.
I mean, some of them were really good, but I thought it was, like, I thought it was kind of uneven.
I mean, well, okay, so the Lisa Loeb stuff was very dated. Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, nobody remembers Lisa Loeb. And if you do remember it, it's only because you were alive as a teenager in that time. So that was very dated. They don't usually do dated humor like that, too. So it was a little surprising. I was like, oh, they're doing like pop culture references.
I don't get the family that was supposed to have broken into D13. That didn't make any.
Yeah, they had security problems, I think. That right. was the only explanation.
It seemed like they just wanted some guest stars, like they were just having fun together.
It did yeah. seem like they just wanted to put those people on camera.
Yeah. This episode felt like the skits felt like a party, like they just decided to have a lot of fun.
It really did.
Yeah. They were like, this time around, we're going to just have the most fun we can possibly have.
Yeah. I don't mean this in a bad way, and I'm not saying it was a bad episode, but it did feel like the one that you do when it's like Christmas is coming and half the staff is gone on vacation already.
Maybe something like that was happening. Yeah. I mean, maybe it was midway through the season and they were about to go on break and they were like, oh, let's just get everybody on camera.
We got to get one more episode yeah. out the door.
Yeah. I mean,
did we do the lady wrestling one yet?
You know, we've had this thesis all along that, like, ultimately one of the strengths of Mystery Science Theater is that they were just allowed to sit in the Midwest and do this on their own without any supervision right. from Hollywood or L.A. or anybody. And so, that leads to things like this, I guess, moments like this where they're just like, well, let's bring our whole staff on camera and give them all parts. And,
I wonder what was happening in the history of the show at this point. So they would have been on the Sci-Fi Channel at this point?
No, not yet. They were still on Comedy Central.
Oh, okay. Was this the last Comedy Central one? No, that's Seven. Seven yeah. is the short one.
No, they didn't know they were canceled yet or anything like that. They were still in the throes of it, I think.
So they were just running along.
They might have, but it is late in their Comedy Central run and they might have just really have kind of, jumped the shark a little bit.
Yeah.
They might have just been like, well, it's incredible that we're still on the air. Let's just go hard and go crazy.
So I guess I'm curious, it's so hard to look at this from 2025 perspective, but like just as a woman watching this terrible movie, are you like, god, I envy those wrestlers so much, I wish you could be in that ring? Or are you like, oh my god, this is so terrible? Like,
I'm used to living in this world. I thought I had a good time watching it. I had a good time watching both of you suffer through the long wrestling matches.
Very long.
I thought it was really funny. I honestly just wish that if I could make the movie today, Peaches would have beat the crap out of everybody. Yeah. That would be it.
Yeah.
That's like what I would change.
Superhero style.
You could even put Peaches, I don't want us to do this, but they could have put Peaches in a little American flag outfit and she could have beat the crap out of them.
Oh, that's true.
It would have been perfect.
Yeah. But her name's Peaches, so I feel like it should be like, well, it's black and white, so that's not going to go so well, but I don't know, Peaches. I don't know. What would you do for Peaches? I mean, obviously.
As a costume?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's so Southern.
Yeah, except she wasn't Southern, though. She was sort of, I don't know, she was agnostic. I don't know where she was from.
Yeah.
She was just there.
Yeah.
She had no part, really. She came in and was like, I'm here now. And things happened around her. And then she left.
She smiled and she bounced.
Yeah.
And she kicked ass.
Yeah.
And I liked it a lot.
She had the largest breasts. So they put her in the tightest tops.
There was that part where she was running by in the car. And I think I literally said out loud, like, is this just happening because she gets to bounce up and down? And then the very next scene,
jump rope.
She's jumping rope. Jump rope. Yeah. And she's bouncing even more.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a movie composed of different little parts. It's like, we got to have lots of women's wrestling. We got to have Peach's boobs bouncing up and down. We got to have this random racketeering plot with horse racing and all these eight men, that are all in some deep plot, but that's going on way over there, away from Peaches. And we're just going to glue it all together.
It's interesting. We commented on this during the movie, but it's interesting how many of the movies we watch wind up being basically two, or sometimes more, but two seems like the magic number.
Yeah.
Basically two different movies happening in parallel. Like that happened with the Santo.
Yeah.
Like Santo and the Treasure of Dracula.
Yeah.
It's a Dracula movie with a Santo movie happening in parallel, kind of.
Right.
And this movie was the same. It's like a mobster movie with this like softcore smut women's wrestling movie happening next to it.
Yeah.
In the same.
It speaks of a lack of confidence in your film. It's like, we need this to be at least two films to make one film because we don't feel like we're going to be entertaining enough.
To me, it feels like just one of them is more of an excuse, right?
Right.
One of them is the excuse. We just want to do smut. But maybe somebody was really, really proud of that terrible mafia story. And so they had to sell it. Be like, look, I got this girl Peaches. Okay. Yeah. She'll be there. Just my story is so good. Okay. I swear.
I think you're right that there was someone deep in the bowels of the making of this film that was really proud of the plot with the 18 men and thought that that could really carry the film and was probably sitting there like steamed on set going like, oh, stupid Peaches with her bouncing breasts.
I don't know. You think so? I mean, what I've heard of this time in movies is that there were a lot of people who were totally in on it. Like there were a lot of hacks, or not hacks, that's a little too strong, but just like workmen, like, you know, sort of, I'm like, what's the story of that guy who wrote all of the, not Nancy Drew, was the other, the Hardy Boys, the guy who wrote all the Hardy Boys books. Mm-hmm. And he was like, man, I just do this for a living.
Yeah.
I just churn these suckers out.
But then you'd think they would have not even tried as hard as they did. You know, there were parts of that B plot with all those men and the horse racing and stuff that almost felt kind of earnest and like they were really trying to make a plot. And I was like, if they really didn't care about, if there was really just smut and wrestling, then why didn't they just gloss over this more? Just kind of.
Mm-hmm. Well, I see by the old clock on the wall that we should probably give our ratings for the episode.
Okay.
I've been going first a lot, so I feel like
so I'm we go encourage one you. Through 10.
Yeah, 1 through 10.
Oh, I'm terrible at rating things.
Well, you don't have to.
You don't have to rate if you don't want to.
You can. You can wait until we go to. If you're like, oh, okay, I'm going to use your numbers.
Yeah.
But I rated the last one first, so you gotta go first this time.
I have to echo what I said during the movie, which is it's like a 4 for the actual film. It's a 10 for the short with the marriage, and it's a kind of a 10, maybe 9-10 for the sketches. So it in aggregate, it's like a 7.
Yeah.
But that's tricky because there definitely were some moments when I was like really, really just really bored. So, I mean, like, it's, you know, maybe a 7's being too generous, but I really want to give credit to the parts of this episode that I was actually laughing. Like, I laughed more this episode than any we've watched on the podcast so far.
Wow. It's interesting.
So it's a 7 for, I think, for me.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. I can't join you in 7 land. This is not my kind of thing, man. I don't know. Because it's really boring, but it's not that last one. When did I give the Space Ranger thing? Didn't we both give it the same score? I think we gave it a 6.
6, I think.
Yeah. I can't even go as high as 6 because at least that one I could just put on and go to sleep to. This one, I don't, it's too frenetic to just.
Well, you wouldn't be able to sleep to this one just because of the crowd, that incessant crowd noise.
Yeah.
The whole time during all the matches.
And
there's
gunshots and it's too up tempo.
It's jarring.
And the Lisa Loeb thing, I don't know. I mean, there are some moments of brilliance in this for sure, but oh God, no. I'm going to charitably give it a 5.
Okay.
And I think that's as high as
that's
I can
fine.
Go.
Yeah, I understand. That's cool. That's cool.
Okay.
Well, this is my very first episode of Mystery Science Theater.
Which is a weird way to start. It's such a weird way to start. And yet, I guess in a kind of a way, it's sort of a perfect one because, you know, if we had watched, like, I don't know, Space Mutiny, we keep talking about Space Mutiny, but then we would have set the bar way too high for
you. Yeah, you would have thought everything else was trash.
But on the other hand, if we watched, like, oh God, what? So the first time we randomly rolled, we actually rolled a KTMA episode, and I was like, there's no way that we need to watch
early seasons of the show.
That's back when they were actually on public access, like, unironically. And they didn't even pre-record the jokes. They would literally just try to make jokes while the movie was playing. It's rough. Anyway, okay.
Well, I think I'm terrible writing things, but I think I have enjoyed watching the two of you go through so much joy and suffering.
Mm-hmm.
I give it a 10.
Oh, I see. So it's a 10 for your own personal
My entire experience, yes. Yeah. But yes, the short really does. That's going to be in my brain for ages.
Yeah, you remember that always.
You did laugh a lot. You have suffered a lot. And I have enjoyed
it
all.
It's just not my jam, man.
Yeah.
Some of the shorts are, I mean, some of the best parts of Mystery Science Theater. There's some stuff.
Yeah.
There's this one. where it's like the Spring Council of America, and it's this whole short about what the world would be like if there were no springs. And they have a little animated character named Coily, and he keeps going, "No springs."
It's some stuff, right?
It's shocking. There's one called Mr. Be Natural. Where I just can't even explain that one. It's basically a company that's trying to sell music instruments, but they're about like, oh, what if there was no music? Or this high school kid or middle school kid is like sad, and this pixie sprite character tries to cheer him up with music. Anyway, it's just, it's, they're shockingly terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, they get really weird.
They get super weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So 7, 5, and 10. I think we might invalidate the 10.
Okay. I'm okay with that. I'm right. Maybe I'll watch a few more and I'll amend it.
The Mystery Science Theater Rating Council has to go. This cannot be a 10. This is just not a thing.
Yeah.
There are some 10s.
Yeah.
We'll get to the 10s. Jason has a few ranked.
Yeah, yeah. 10. I know.
I would like to see a 10.
Okay, we'll watch one offline.
Yeah. I don't know. What are some of your 10? What's a 10?
Merlin's Shop of Mystical Wonders.
Yeah, right.
Merlin's Shop of Mystical Wonders.
That's.
I do like wizards.
It's a beautiful kiss.
It's
excellent.
It's sublime. It drags a little bit because it's like this Renaissance fair thing.
Oh, it's so special.
There's some parts of that that are, they're outstanding. Yeah. Okay, well. I think we're all a little bit dumber now. That's a good thing, right? Ignorance is bliss.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, so Rack It Girls.
Rack It Girls.
See you next time.
Here we are. Yes, marriage. The coming together of two to make one. Two people, two separate, perfectly happy people who haven't been held down by life until now.